This is Rabbi Nathanael Braun, Congregation Brothers of Israel, Long Branch, New Jersey, recording for Friday, April 20th, 2018. We learn the 5th to 7th Mishnayos, the first chapter of Mishnah Kiddushin. Mishnah Hey. I continue our discussion of how things are acquired. Nechasin sheyesh lahan achrayos niknin bekesef vishtar uvechazaka. So nechasin literally means nechasim are is your property that sheyesh lahan achrayos that you have a responsibility for, and that is translated as mortgage property. In the classic Gemara case, it is property that when sold, if you owe a debt, that debtor can go and collect it from the person you've sold it to. And that is generally only true by land and not by movable objects, by metalzalin. So the chasin sheyesh lahen achrayus, which is property that is mortgaged to a to a debtor. So nikdin, that land, that type of property can be bought with kesef, shtar, and chazaka, with money, document, or chazaka, I mean that you've been, squatter's rights, as it were. You've been living there for sufficient time to establish your ownership, right? Because when we're talking about land, obviously lifting it, pulling it, pushing it ain't going to happen, right? Unless maybe you're Hercules. Very difficult. So those are the three methods. V'she'en lehen achrayos, right? Movable properties, a niknin ela b'meshicha. Right, those are not acquired through money, even though you've paid the money. I said machlokas in the Gemara, but according here, even though you've paid the money, you have not acquired it till you've taken it. The Mishnah gives the example of pulling, but it could be that includes lifting and some of those other types of methods of acquisitions of kinyanim as well. Excuse me. Nechasin she'ein lahan achrayos nikdin im nechasin she'yesh lahan achrayos bechasef ishtar uvechazaka. So that is, it's actually something that we do during the sale of chametz to the non-Jew. Nechasim that are movable, right? That could be a pen, a hammer, or all of your chametz. So the nechasim she'ein lehen achrayos, the non-mortgage properties, right, metaltal and movable, can be acquired along with property, which is bought by kesef, money, shtar, document, chazaka, squatter's rights. So what you would do there is you would say when you buy this land, you can acquire the chametz as well. You can acquire this pen as well, and that works. And one of the ways that we sell the chametz to a guy is actually renting space in your property, and along with the rental, the chametz goes. Now, the reverse is, here's a reverse case where the land gets schlepped along with the non-land. Zokikin nechasin, right? Literally, we throw. The nechasin she'en lehen achrayos, the non-mortgage properties, the metaltlin, the movable objects, can take along with it, at nechasin she'esh lehen achrayos, the mortgage properties, the land, lishava aleihem, to include them in an oath. We generally have a principle that nishban ala karkaos. There's no oath when it comes to land. So if there's a dispute, you can't force an oath over land. But if you have a dispute about the hammer, the lawnmower, the whatever it is, once you're taking an oath on movable, on non-mortgaged items, you can include in that oath, that's the zokikin, also sometimes called Gilgul Shvua, you roll it in, but you can include the oath in the land in once you're taking an oath on the non-mortgaged properties, the metals and the movable. Okay. Mishnah Vav. Talks about another type of kinyan, and that is chalipin, where when I lift, this is actually, right, this is the type of kinyan that happens when you come to sell your chametz. When you lift my pen, you transfer something to me. I give you something, you transfer something to me. In that case, you're lifting my pen, transferring the ability to be your agent. But if you had a hammer in your house that I wanted to own, when I gave you the pen and you lifted it and you agreed to transfer the hammer, it actually happens instantaneously without me having to go and get it, touch it, or lift it. That's called kinyan chalipin, a switch, literally lachlof is to switch. It's a kinyan of chalipin. So the Mishnah says, kol hanaseh damim ba'acher, right? Anything that is generally bought, an item that you would pay money for, an item of value. Kevan shezachazeh, right? Nischayev zeh bechalifav. Right? Once I acquire the pen or that item, you acquire the thing we're switching it for. Ketzad, right? Give me a case. Hichlif shor bepara o chamor beshor. Okay, you have a bull and a cow, or a donkey and a bull. Right? And you wanna exchange them. Right? I have one, you have the other, we want to exchange them. Kevan shezachazeh, let's take the, I have a donkey, I want to give you a donkey, I want to take your bull. So the moment I give you the donkey, I automatically own your bull, no matter where it is. Right? So kevan shezachazeh nischayev zeh b'chalifav. Right? You have to give them, it's already mine. Now, rishus hagavoa b'kesef, as opposed to regular mundane transactions where money does not buy, money does not acquire, when it comes to rishus gavoa, the higher, right, we answer to a higher authority, the higher rishus, i.e. the temple, if they come to buy something, the moment they give you the money, it is theirs, even though in a regular person, a mundane activity, it's not. Urishus hahedyot b'chazaka. Right, when we're talking about hedyo, mundane, regular peoples like us, buying things, giving the money is not sufficient. You actually have to take hold of the object. And lastly, the Mishnah teaches us, Ami raso legavoa kimisi raso lehedyo. Right, it's a very famous principle. Speech with regard to the temple is like giving over when it comes to regular people. Right, if you want to acquire my hammer and you give me the money, I have to give you the hammer. When it comes to, if I say I want to, you know, I'm gifting this to you, right? I'm gifting you this hammer. You do not acquire it till I put the hammer in your hands. When it comes to the temple, the moment I say I am gifting this hammer to the temple, without anything else, it belongs to the temple. Because speech to the temple is like equivalent to passing over to a hedyot. Mishnah Zayin, right? And transitions from methods of acquisition to Kibbutz Avaim. The Gemara's discussion of Kibbutz Avaim begins in the Torah, but Mishnaically is found in the first chapter of Kiddushin. So, Kol HaMitzvos HaBen Al HaAv. All the mitzvos regarding the son that are placed upon the father, like circumcision, Anashim Chayavim V'Nashim Peturos. Right, men are obligated, women are not. A woman is not obligated to, the child has to be circumcised. Right, and then Basin could do it, or maybe the kid gets older. But the obligation per se is on the father, not on the mother. Right, Pidyon HaBen. Chol mitzvos ha'av al ha'ben. All the mitzvos that relate to the father that are incumbent upon a child, like, you know, kibud, honoring, mora, the fear of. Echad anashim, echad anashim chayavim. Right, so that's both sons and daughters. Right, the same, of course, holds true for the mother, but once we talk about the father in the first half, the next line talks about the father also. B'chol mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, any positive commandment that is time-bound, lulav, shofar, sukkah, anashim chayavin, v'nashim pturos, men are obligated, women are exempt. Right, now, women can participate, they are exempt, but they are allowed to partake. Right, and there's a famous argument between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam whether women can make a bracha on that. Sephardi women follow the psak of the Rambam. They do not make a bracha. Ashkenaz women follow the psak of Rabbeinu Tam. They perform time-bound positive commandments and recite blessings. Chol mitzvah aseh shelo hazman grama, any positive commandment that is not time-bound. So echad anashim, echad anashim chayavim. Both men and women are, of course, obligated. V'chol mitzvah lo sa'aseh, any negative commandment, thou shalt not, don't do. Ben shazman grama, ben shalo azman grama, whether it's time-bound or not time-bound, all negative commandments, echad anashim ve'echad nashim chayavim, both men and women are equally and fully obligated, with the following three exceptions. Chutz mi bal tashchis to bal takif, right? That is, you know, shaving one's head and the beard. Ubal titame lametim, and not becoming ritually impure to the dead for the Kohen. So a woman who is the daughter of a Kohen is allowed to come in contact with a corpse, and there's no prohibition in terms of shaving head or facial hair for a woman as there is by a man. That concludes our learning for today and this week. Please come back. Join me on Monday.